When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
Well, there was an awful lot of lovey-dovey Valentine's stuff on the go yesterday, and there is no doubt that it was an important and special day for many couples. This morning, however, we want to take a more cold-hearted look at the financial realities of the other side of romance. What happens when the lovebirds stop singing and the spark that was once so strong between two people starts to fizzle out? To look at the financial fallout when relationships break apart, we're joined in studio here by Frank Conway, the founder of the Irish Financial Review, and from Cork by family law solicitor Anne O'Neill. And of course, for many people, it's probably like the morning after the night before. It's been a great night for many couples, but moving in together, if they're thinking about it, I presume it's something you'd say to them not to take lightly.
I would indeed. The financial consequences of separation are enormous, and I mean, they now include cohabiting couples, civil partnerships and married couples. So they are, I mean, you just have to take cognizance of the fact that you're now going to be operating two households with two sets of expenditures relating to both households, to realise that the average drop in income, disposable income post-separation is about 30%. Yeah,
it can be very difficult, I suppose, when people have to break apart. Is there a lot of difference with people just living together who haven't, I suppose they might have been living together for a year or two or three and so on. Do they have responsibilities towards each other?
If you've been living together for 2 years and you have children, under the Civil Partnership and Certain Rights of Cohabitants Act 2010, which is a bit of a mouthful, but under that act, you now have certain financial obligations to one another. If there are children and you have been living together for 2 years. If you've been living together for 5 years and you don't have children, you also have rights and obligations towards one another arising out of a breakdown.
Well, with no children, what kind of rights and obligations? People just can't automatically go their own separate ways?
No. Up to 2 years after they separate, either party can make a case for financial dependence or other financial need, and can, if necessary, go to court, and under the Act have very similar rights of redress in those circumstances against the partner that is perceived to have financial competence, if you like, or financial.
Well, I wonder, do many people actually know that?
I think very few people really have come to terms with this. I mean, it's something that I don't believe there was a lot of agitation for. I certainly wasn't aware of any great campaign. It might have been appropriate in relation to children, but I think outside of that context, I'm not sure it is appropriate. And what is even more significant and more interesting is that you have to opt out of that act. You don't have to opt in. In other words, you have to enter into an agreement that the provisions of the act won't apply for you, for them not to apply. Now, that means that you would have to be aware of the law and you would probably have to take legal advice. And for people who are in cohabiting situations, I doubt very much if they're thinking on those terms.
I bet you they're not, especially after great nights like last night. Frank Conway, obviously dealing with breakups and so on, marriage being the big one. A financial hurricane, I think, is the way you think about it.
Financial hurricane, and I suppose the week that's in it, you know, it has the power to destroy family wealth, you know, and some of the statistics, normally the US is very, very strong in this area because it's had a long history of divorce and studying it, real evidence. But some of the stats are coming out, and Anne actually pointed one out on the 30% of the loss of income, or you'd need an extra 30% to actually pay if somebody were to move out. And that is often what happens, because it can often be acrimonious splits. But some of the other stats as well is it's very harsh on women, because about 20% can fall into poverty. This is what comes out of the United States, and Ireland isn't that different at that high level. About 33% at a risk of losing their homes if there's presence of children. About 75%, really going back to this whole area of maybe child support, don't get the full amount of child support. And anecdotally, we often see this in Ireland, where the courts may adjudicate for a certain amount of money being paid. This isn't always paid to an individual. And you again, you need that 30% rise in income just to offset it because the simple cost of the extra household out there. And so for many people, you know, like any storm, this financial hurricane, the difficulty is maybe getting some bearings because as it's about to happen, and there will always be one partner who will be very aware that it's going to happen because they'll either instigate it or whatever, maybe getting their bearings in advance to deciding and looking at where all of their finances are. This is often maybe something that would often help people to perhaps prepare, particularly in the area of costs, because, you know, once particularly you have children, you have a lifelong commitment to those, at least until they've gone to college. And so how will there be division of assets there? Will one partner go back to work, for example? And how will they go back to work? And will they have the skill sets? So will they need to upskill in employment, for example? And very practical issues, such as if there are young children, will there be childcare needs? So not only the household needs, but childcare needs, division of pensions. All of this are huge areas that often aren't thought about in advance, only after the divorce has happened. So the cost of the solicitor is what perhaps Winston Churchill will call the end of the beginning. Those legal costs are just the end of a process. You're now into a much longer period of co-ownership of debt.
Well, I presume, Anne, now in that kind of situation, and lawyers obviously help people through these situations, but people need support, because if you're going through a breakup, if the financial consequence is a 30% fall in living standards, it's one thing to say about I need to get X or I need to get Y. Very hard to overcome that. People need to really understand, I suppose, the situation that people who are in breakups are in, and support them a little bit more, perhaps realising how big a fall it is.
Yes. I mean, I think that what Frank says about planning is key. But also, I think that people need to make themselves aware that there are many ways, many processes by which you can end a marriage. And you don't have to go the route of going into court. And we in Cork have led the way very significantly in the field of collaboration. And there are huge savings for people who are prepared to enter into non-conflictual resolutions and who are prepared to engage with accountants and tax planners and lawyers who will work together. And I know that probably sounds to people that if you put all those professionals together, it's going to wind up costing me a lot more. That's not true. If you put all those professionals together, which you often do, and bring them into court and multiply them by two, because you'll have two parties, then it'll cost enormously more than the way we do it in Cork. And I would urge people who are in this situation to make their inquiries about collaboration, about mediation, and about how these ways of resolving difficulties can both save them costs and also help them to plan better into the future with the aid of all the other professionals that work in the team structure of collaboration.
And Frank was making the making the point there about, I suppose, the challenges which people face, and who, I suppose, who you should tell is probably an issue. Should you tell your bank? Should you tell the tax man if you're going to go through a separation or a breakup?
I think you shouldn't do so without taking advice very carefully from both your accountant or your tax advisor and your solicitor, because quite often people jump the gun and they get themselves into tax situations very early on when things are very fraught and very emotional, which they didn't need to get themselves into if they had pulled tough and consulted and planned a little bit better.
So hold on.
Hold on. Don't do anything. Don't shoot the gun. Go and take your advice. I mean, the reason we're experts is because we know what to advise people not to do.
Frank, one of the big issues now, I suppose, if people were breaking up in the, I suppose, if you go back before the crash, economic crash, if they had a house, they could probably say, well, the house is worth a lot of money. We can split it and we can both get another house out of it. Now it's a question of, it's not actually a house, it's a debt.
It's a debt.
Who owns the debt?
Yeah, and that's the issue. They both own the debt. That's the reality, you know. And often what's the case is people think perhaps divorce decrees may decide to adjudicate one way or another. A bank will look at it and say, well, you've both signed on that debt. And even if one moves out, which is often what's going to happen, you know, although there is anecdotal evidence, a lot of it out there at the moment, that people are staying in the household even after a separation or even in divorce, where they're trying to keep the family home together for the sake of the children. But that debt will follow you because we've recourse lending in Ireland. And if you look at the statistics, what 50% of homeowners or households are underwater in terms of the equity in that property, you owe that debt. And if it does get back to a situation where there's a loss of the property itself, so that debt will follow both parties.
Both of them. Well, yeah. What happens if, OK, there is a debt, somebody has to decide the ownership of the house. Maybe it's joint. Somebody gets to live in it and somebody has to go off and find a new accommodation. That seems quite challenging.
It's a challenge, absolutely. And, you know, while divorce can be very hard on women because of the earning differentials that are out there, the other issue as well is that it is equally hard on men. You know, there are some statistics out there where they will lose personal wealth between 10 and 40%. It really depends on the circumstances and the situations. But
if I could come in on that, Frank,
yes,
I think that men tend to recover a little bit better. They may take the hit in the beginning, but they do recover better because they generally haven't taken a break in their careers. Mm-hmm. They generally still have the business contacts, the personal contacts from the various rugby clubs or whatever. And I don't want to make this into a middle class situation, but you know what I'm suggesting.
Absolutely.
And I think that they also have a track record of dealings with the bank. Quite often women don't. And they can, you know, recover because of those things a lot quicker. And that very often women have a much harder struggle, I think.
Yeah, and it goes back to the point I made earlier, which is that, you know, divorce is hardest on women. They are likely to fall into poverty and remain in poverty as a result of it. Yeah.
Which is why planning is key, I think, in this. And I don't mean that you're going to plan for a divorce, of course you're not, but the people who work with individuals in this situation would help them to plan how they're going to make it work for them as best it can.
Well, now, actually, on that note, I'll leave you with this. It was a quote from Brian Dyson, who was a former CEO of Coca-Cola. And he said, imagine life as a game in which you are juggling five balls in the air. They are work, family, health, friends and spirit. And you're keeping them all up in the air, and you'll soon understand that work is a rubber ball. If you drop it, it will bounce back. The other four balls, family, health, friends and spirit, are made of glass. And if you drop one of them, they will be irrevocably scuffed, marked, nicked, damaged, or even shattered. And then they'll never be the same. And I think he said, then if you understand that, then you're going to strive for it. And it is about planning. I mean, you can plan for a breakup, but you can obviously work on these things.
Okay.
Well, we better leave it there. Frank Conway and Anne O'Neill, thank you both very much.
The Business on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Electric Ireland, Ireland's leading business electricity provider.